A U.S. senator destroyed by blackmail.
He was not bound by the truth or by facts.
The country's most outrageous political demagogue ascending toward the peak of American power.
Millions upon millions of devoted followers.
This is a story of heroes willing to face down tyranny and the risk to the country if they fail.
Rachel Maddow presents Ultra, season 2 of the chart-topping original podcast. Listen now.
The 1992 Los Angeles uprising, the Cambodian genocide, Japanese-American incarceration. What you know isn't always the full story. Our new podcast, Inheriting, about Asian-American and Pacific Islander families where the past is personal.
Korean Americans, we call it sa-i-gu.
Did you ever realize when you were a child that you became an orphan?
Camp was such a hard time. How do you think you got through it?
Listen to Inheriting from LAS Studios and the NPR Network, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Immigrantly, the podcast that unravels the intricate tapestries of the immigrant experience in America. I am your host, Sadia Khan. Today, as we approach the 4th of July, I am diving deep into the concept of freedom, which, by the way, remains elusive and multifaceted for many of us. Freedom, it's a word that carries immense weight. Yet its meaning can vary drastically depending on who you are, where you come from, and the experiences you've had. As someone who immigrated to this country, I often found myself grappling with the idea of true liberation. And I still do. What does it mean to be fully free, to own my different identities without hesitation? My Muslim identity, my Pakistani identity, my gender identity, and to feel unencumbered by the invisible or sometimes very visible forces that shape our lives. Living in America, a land touted as the epitome of freedom, which a lot of people may disagree, I sometimes feel like an outsider looking in. I'm reminded time and again that the rights and privileges enjoyed by those who've been here for generations, especially those from European backgrounds or who identify as white, are not always extended to people like me. The promise of freedom often feels conditional, limited by factors beyond my control. So today, I decided to turn the microphone inward and ask my team, a diverse group of amazing individuals, to share their thoughts on freedom. How do they perceive their liberty within the broader context of American identity? And perhaps most importantly, when have they felt least free? So join me as we explore these profoundly personal reflections and attempt to understand the varied dimensions of freedom in America. You'll hear from Adiba Hussain. She is a content writer at Immigrantly. Sarah Amelia Baig, who is our social media strategist, and Sirin Kader, who is our podcast assistant. I can't wait for you to listen to their perspectives. So without further ado, let's get started. To kick off things, let's hear from Adiba Hussain as to what freedom really means to her.
Hi, everyone. My name is Adiba Hussain, and I am one of the script and content writers for Immigrantly. I am Bangladeshi, but I was born and raised in New York. To me, freedom is the ability to pursue any of your dreams and aspirations in life without any restrictions. Now, these restrictions can be in regards to your community or your ethnicity or your socioeconomic status, just to name a few. Now, my parents have the classic immigrant story. They came to America from Bangladesh with very little money and nothing to their name. So because of that, my familial background has definitely shaped my understanding of freedom. We live in such a capitalistic society where money is a huge restriction on the things that one is able to do. Money pretty much can dictate how much power you have in a community or what careers you're encouraged to pursue, which personally I can relate to. And so one moment that comes to mind that made me feel least free was when I was deciding my major in college and therefore my overall career path. I think in this case, freedom was a double-edged sword. Of course, I recognize how lucky I am to even have the freedom and the opportunity to even study at a higher education institute and to be able to take all of these amazing classes in pursuit of that. But at the same time, because of my cultural background and my financial status, I was almost pressured to pursue a STEM major, whereas my first choice would have been something like English. It was this feeling of having all of these doors available to you, but being pushed through only one door. And so there were a lot of societal constraints, since there is this perception that STEM fields provide you with the most amount of stability for your future. In a way, not being able to pursue what I wanted to felt like the complete opposite of the American dream. It was restricting to know that my counterparts of a different ethnicity and a race were able to pursue what they wanted to. They didn't need to worry about how they would provide for their family, which unfortunately I did not have the freedom. I didn't have the freedom to only focus on what would make me happy, and so I needed to compromise my passions in life for this perceived stability.
And now you'll hear from Sarah B. What does freedom look like to Sarah? And when did she feel least free?
I'm Sarah, the social media coordinator at Immigrantly Media. And my father is Pakistani and my mother is Colombian. And I identify as Muslim, Asian, Latina, and queer. Freedom is not merely an individual right, but a collective experience that allows people to equitably express, enjoy, and participate in activities that bring them contentment and fulfillment without harming others. And in the context of the U.S., I feel that freedom is often misused as a justification for actions or speech that can harm the collective. Statements like, it's a free country, so I can say or do whatever I want, overlook the consequences of spreading hate or harm. And to truly experience freedom, we must sustain it collectively. A prime example of this is the way that many Indigenous communities operated before colonization, free from man-made threats. They were able to migrate without the need for visas. Members of the communities all played a crucial role. This communal approach not only allowed for the expression of individuality through art forms like storytelling, dancing, and music, but it also ensured that every member's contribution was vital to the community's success. And this balance provided the freedom to engage in and enjoy life to the fullest. Of all people, I have to acknowledge my privilege and my freedom, especially as a woman who doesn't wear the hijab and may be considered quote-unquote white passing. I don't necessarily have an experience when I felt the least free, but a moment that made me aware of my background, that I was different from my classmates in my elementary school, which was predominantly Italian-American and Catholic, was in second grade when my friend explained her European heritage. When she asked me about mine, I proudly said that I was Colombian and Pakistani and Muslim. And my friend said, oh, we can't be friends. My parents said, I can't be friends with Muslims, which confused me as a seven-year-old because I wasn't cognizant of Islamophobia. I don't know any seven-year-old who really did at the time. And as I got older, what she said to me enraged me, but not because of her ignorance. She was a child, just like me. The only people I could really blame were her parents, right? They were the adults in the situation who taught her those things. But the fact was that this little girl that said this to me, her mother was the art teacher at my elementary school. And we had a handful of Muslim kids, some visibly so. And this incident, as I got older, made me realize how dangerous it was to have a woman who was so comfortable to teach her child to hate someone based on their religion. And the same person would go on to teach the same children that she hated and taught her child to hate. And now they were in her care. And so, yes, that incident enraged me, but it also motivated me because I ended up becoming an educator myself. And through that experience, I wanted to remind myself that I needed to make sure my students were able to freely express who they are in the classroom without the fear of being judged.
In the end, I'm going to pass on the mic to Sirin Kader. Take a listen.
My name is Sirin. I am a podcast assistant at Immigrantly, and my cultural background is Palestinian. Freedom to me means being able to express my individuality without limitations. The concept of freedom and how it impacts my life can depend on the root of where that type of freedom occurs, such as examining how freedom was mentioned in the Declaration of Independence in 1776, or simply reflecting on how freedom looks like within my cultural sphere. For example, the way in which my cultural background shapes my understanding of freedom is manifested through the early customs, traditions, and values that my elders used to practice. The culture of Palestine is defined by a strong sense of connection to our land. As Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish expressed, "The land we carry in our blood." The land is treasured and valued by Palestinians because that is where our freedom began, through agriculture. However, despite this profound connection, there are moments when I feel the weight of societal and personal constraints. As Palestinians, we navigate challenges that restrict our freedoms. Yet through it all, I remain a hopeful warrior, believing in our resilience and rights. Finally, a moment when I feel the least free aligns with the understanding that as a Palestinian, my sense of freedom mirrors the resilience of our agriculture and our deep connection to the land. Reflecting on the societal and personal constraints that shape this feeling is crucial for understanding the current realities and envisioning the future of the Palestinian people. Because as a Palestinian or human, you're only as free as your land is.
Thank you, Sirin. Your insights are so powerful and necessary. As we celebrate the 4th of July, we must recognize that freedom is not a one-size-fits-all concept. It's a complex, multifaceted experience that varies widely among individuals. The journey toward true freedom is ongoing, especially for immigrants and people of color in America. Especially for the Muslim diaspora in America. For us, it's about carving out spaces like Immigrantly, where we can be ourselves unapologetically and without fear. It's about advocating for equal rights and challenging the systems that perpetuate inequality. As we reflect on what it means to be free, let's remember that freedom is not just a privilege to be enjoyed, but a right to be fought for everyone. Thank you for joining us on this special episode of Immigrantly. If you have thoughts or stories about what freedom really means to you, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at sadia@immigrantlypod.com. This episode is produced by me, Sadia Khan, written by me, Adiba Hussain, Sarah Pegg, and Sirin Kader. The editorial review is done by Shay Yu. Our sound designer and editor is Hazik Ahmed Farid. Our theme music is done by Simon Hutchinson. Other music by Epidemic Sound. Until next time, stay curious, stay engaged, and keep this conversation going. Happy 4th of July, and may we all continue to strive for a more inclusive and truly free America.